I'm Kevin Keith. Melissa Miller's here in the studio with us. And Russ Casper's joining us, too. Good morning.
Good morning.
Russ, you called Party Line here Monday and said you might have a tremendous opportunity for us to talk to someone who's related to you by marriage. His name is Olag, and we have him on the phone right now to start the program here. Olag grew up in Ukraine, went to school in Ukraine, and is now an American citizen living in America. And we want to say good morning to Olag this morning.
Or is it Oleg?
Oleg?
It is Oleg.
Oleg.
Olag sounds really nice, though. I might go by that.
Oleg. And, you know, I had a little bit of a Russian, Oleg, but you speak Ukrainian, too. That's your really your home language, is it not?
Yes, my home language is Ukrainian. I speak some Russian because we grew up in a church that was Slavic. All the people of the Soviet Union, a lot of people spoke Russian. So he kind of, it's kind of the universal language so everybody can communicate easy. Not everybody can understand Ukrainian.
Well, so many people worldwide are heartbroken with what is happening in your home country of Ukraine. And what do you want to say before we get into anything else? What are the things that are crossing your mind, Oleg?
Well, right now, I think, especially with most Ukrainians, it's very personal. You know, we have a flood of emotions between being very sad and probably some anger. I mean, this was a long time coming. Russia has been trying to destroy Ukrainian democracy for a long time, and they couldn't break it any other way, so they had to invade and basically put us to war and take us. So this is the final straw for them. They couldn't break us. Now they want to see if they can just kill us, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So it's a very difficult situation for my family that's over there. It's difficult for us to sit here and be worried. This is a war that's obviously been seen on TV, TikTok, Twitter, every social media outlet, so it's very palpable for everybody. But I think it's, most importantly, it's geopolitically a huge, huge deal, and will affect the whole world, and especially Americans as well. So we need to be in tune of what's going on, and we need to help fight for democracy any way we can.
I wasn't, Oleg, I wasn't aware of the amount of exports that Ukraine provides for the rest of the world, really, until this popped up on our radar a couple months ago now. There are, like you said, there are ramifications for the rest of the world, not just small little Ukraine there.
Exactly. Ukraine is high in resources. And it's not Siberia. You don't have to go all the way out there and difficult to extract. It's ready to go. It's easy grab, right? So mm-hmm. For Russia, they need resources. They're a resources-based economy. Secondly, Russia is a dying country. And they have their population is dwindling. They're not thriving. An injection of 44 million people and a lot of resources would make them look a lot stronger and prop up their, you know, autocratic government that's failing.
Not to mention the agricultural component. I think
even your
flag that has the blue on top and the grain golden on the bottom, that's actually symbolic, is it not, of a blue sky and a wheat field?
Yeah, I mean, Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe, and we have some of the best black earth, arable land in Europe, and, you know, Russia wants to be fed again. You know, they want to be fed by Ukraine. They want to be stronger, and Ukraine would make them stronger. And they also want to show that they're on the world stage. Hey, did you forget about me? I'm Russia. I'm over here, you know. I think U.S. being the major power and China on the rise, I think Russia's kind of on the back burner. And Putin wants to show that, hey, we're part of the world stage still, you know.
Yeah, you have to admit avarice and envy and embarrassment and national pride. It's all mixed up in this. So we can read and study what's going on with the infrastructure and so forth. I mean, I'd like to take kind of a human tack on this. Tell us what is going on with your family or the people your family knows. You know, with boots on the ground there, what's it look like, feel like? What are they confronting?
I think every day is uncertain. I think you're living in a constant state of fear. Not to mention, you know, resources are dwindling. You know, supply chains are getting cut off. Food, water, electricity is getting cut off. If you're in cities, I know friends, they're hiding in bunkers. You know, it's cold. It's winter. You know, this is not summertime. This is wintertime. Conditions are rough. Thank God my family's doing okay. My brother is in Lviv, which is a city about 60 kilometers outside of Poland, and he's safe at the moment.
What city again did you say?
It's called Lviv.
Okay. Yeah, I see it. I got on the map here. Yeah, it's pretty close to Poland and Slovakia.
Major city in the West. As you know, the West and the East is also kind of an interesting topic. You know, typically in the West, we're a little bit more, you know, they're a little more nationalistic Ukrainians. In the East, it's a little bit more of a hybrid of a mixture between Russian and Ukrainian, you know. But one thing you could say about this is Ukrainians united, no matter what language they spoke, what they look like, they united as Ukrainians, and they're fighting. They're fighting for their lives, you know.
I guess in Poland, some of the women in Poland at the train station lined up baby carriages.
I saw that, yeah.
Welcoming the mothers. They didn't know who was going to take it, but they knew that they're going to need some baby carriages as soon as they got to the train station.
Yep, the strollers.
Strollers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, the world has really, really stepped up. The U.S., you know, Europe, the world has really stepped up for Ukraine, and I'm happy that, you know, we support democracy. But this has been going on for a while, and I'm glad, you know, better late than never, right, to wake up.
Right. But it's unfortunate that it's taken this for everybody to see what the asset was in Ukraine.
Good point.
And I feel for your family. I wish there was more that we could do. I understand the world wanting to stay out of a no-fly zone to try and avoid a World War III, but it's unfortunate that Ukraine is the one taking the punishment for this.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I called it Ukraine's the sacrificial lamb, you know, between two big powers, and I hope they win. And I believe they will win.
Well, you have so much grit, so much. Ronald Reagan said, "It's called freedom, and it works. It's the most exciting, progressive, and successful idea the world has ever known."
Absolutely.
And we see the size of Russia, and when there was discussion over the last couple months, you know, we thought this would be where Russian troops would roll in and take over the airspace and just dominate the country and do all this within a week or so. But they weren't counting on the resolve of the Ukrainian people. And, boy, you get a taste of freedom, and people can literally fight till their death.
Absolutely. He miscalculated huge. He thought it was going to be like Crimea, where they were just going to roll over when they saw all these tanks and people. I don't think he was prepared for a real war, and now he's feeling one.
He's got
mud on his face right now, and he's isolated. And I don't know what his next move is going to be.
Well, and I don't think he actually anticipated the fact that his own people were going to be against this war too, and that's not. I mean, that doesn't look good for him as a leader.
So, how does he save face coming out of this?
Unfortunately,
he wins.
Yeah, he wins. And I'm afraid what my fear is that he is going to do whatever it takes to win. mm-hmm. because I don't think he's stable. I really do not. I mean, he is a smart. He's smart. He's calculated. He is a, you know, KGB. He used to be in KGB.
Yeah, he's,
so,
he's a dictator.
I mean, he's, yeah. And I'm afraid that he is going to do whatever it takes to win.
I think the other thing is, too, he underestimated the rest of the world because nobody yep. likes Russia. You know? And it seems like everybody's coming out of the woodwork to try to help now. So oftentimes we hear of a war in another country, and it's, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away from us. But this one seems like it's almost feels like America being attacked, you know. Anyone else? I know you Ukraine was very close to becoming in the NATO organization within a couple months.
Well, you know, in 2014, they had the Minsk Agreement, right, in Belarus. And supposedly yep. that was to put everything on ice and to cool everything off. And evidently, Putin just said, okay, well, that doesn't apply anymore. Is that right?
He makes up a lot of stories. He makes up whatever story he needs to get his way, right?
To try
we're talking
and
about a dictator.
Yeah.
He plays by the dictator playbook. They all have the same exact playbook, you know. There's even a documentary on it on Netflix, and it'll teach you how to become one.
how do the people get their news now? Do you still have abundant internet there? I would think that's starting to be marginalized.
Well, Starlink with Elon Musk, he took his satellite over there.
But is the capacity enough to serve 42 million people?
You know, that's my brother has had no issues with the internet. I've been able to call him on the Wi-Fi, and he's able to text us right now. So, I mean, we're in contact fairly easily at this time. I think it depends where you're at. I think if you're in, you know, some of the really bad cities like Kharkiv maybe even some places in Kiev where there's a lot of fighting and destruction, you know, telecommunications are going to be rough.
Right.
But for the most part, the rest of the country's got decent access.
One thing I found interesting, Oleg, is your president, Zelensky. Let's remember 3 years ago, he was the top comedian on Ukrainian television, and now
he's a world hero.
He's a world hero with... with you know, just some guts. And how important is it that he stayed when the U.S. offered to get him out to carry on the resolve for the Ukrainian people?
We wouldn't be talking about him right now if he didn't stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
It would have just been some other politician that ran to save his butt. But he stepped up in a time of crisis, kind of, you know. We all know the Churchills and the, you know, certain leaders that step up in crisis and war, and
George Washington. And
George Washington. I mean, we can name a few. I think Zelensky is going to be the modern kind of hero of Ukraine. We have our heroes of the past, and we need a new hero, and we need someone strong. We need someone that's not going to put his tails between his legs and just sell out and take money and run, which they always usually do. But, you know, I'm proud of him. And who else has more guts than a comedian? Let's be real.
yeah, right.
True.
I never thought
yeah.
of that.
Great point.
Yeah.
He's dealt with everything, hasn't he?
He can handle the heckling on the stage.
On the world stage. Yeah. Yeah, you're on the world stage and you got to make people laugh. Well, I don't know what's scarier than that.
But even his famous phrase by now, I don't need a ride, I need ammo,
mm-hmm.
has... Just yes. a bit of humor, not a lot, but I mean it's contrasting the two.
And it seems like that's probably the biggest thing that, I mean, we have humanitarian aid heading that way, and there is some on the ground there, probably not near enough, because like you said, a lot of the supply chains have been cut off. They're trying to get the stuff through, even though Russia says they're going to let it go through. They've definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
They've
right.
they've lied all the way through.
Believing them is very difficult.
Exactly. But that seems to me like the biggest thing the world can do is get the means to fight over to them and get the supplies over to Ukraine that they need to keep fighting and to push Russia back.
Yeah, I think we need to do it like we did in the Cold War. This is kind of like a Cold War situation where we have to make sure democracy wins and support them in any way we can other than obviously putting boots on the ground, right? We did 50 years of Cold War with the Soviet Union. U.S. and Russia never fought each other, but, you know, they sponsored different wars and one based on who was the better sponsor. I think we need to sponsor Ukraine. We need to make sure their civilians are getting fed and taken care of, and we need to make this a priority. And, you know, we're all going to feel it. The gas prices are up. Food prices will go up. Everything's going to go up. And partly because of this, we'll be thanking Russia for it.
Oleg, we saw yesterday that the U.S. is banning Russian oil as one of the sanctions, which really, if you think about it, is really just going to hurt the middle class in America. That's not hurting Vladimir Putin.
Now, Vladimir Putin's already a billionaire with multiple yachts and fancy homes. I mean, he has enough money for 20 lifetimes. You're not going to hurt him in any way. The only people that are going to get hurt are the Russian people. Their economy is going to, you know, go down the drain. We're going to pay higher tax prices. I mean, in this state of war, I think it's time to turn the spigot on in the U.S. as well. You know, Reagan beat the Soviet Union one way. He made gas and oil prices cheap, and they went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
The strategy worked. Let's do it again. There's no reason to go buy a different playbook when that worked really well. When you have a resource-based economy that literally makes all their money off natural resources, make it cheap for 2 years. They'll go out of business, and then you know we can go back to you know, conservation and things like that. But in time of crisis, you got to do extraordinary things.
Yeah, bring the queen out on the chessboard.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Our time is precious together here, Oleg. I want to make sure we talk about anything else that you think is important to talk about. We could talk about geopolitics. We could talk about your family's struggles. We could talk about the way Stalin starved more people in your area than died in the concentration camps in Germany when he was trying to replace your people with Russian people. He's tried to starve them out and move the Russian people in. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I do want to say, basically, unfortunately for Ukraine, they're the borderland between two powers, right? It's been like that for history. Whether Napoleon or the Germans or the Turks or the Russians or, you know, whoever, the Polish, throughout their history, they've always been battling for their land and for their freedom. And they're a freedom-loving people. You know, this fight, what I want to tell people is that it's not new, and that I want to give a little history lesson because, as you know, if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. Ukraine's been fighting for its independence for a long time. And, you know, it became one of the freest countries in Europe, democratically. But it fought for it. After the Soviet Union fell apart, they had the Orange Revolution. That was their first step into becoming more democratic and fighting corruption. Well, Russia and the hooligans in power didn't allow it. So then in 2013, there was Euromaidan and the Revolution of Dignity. And that's where literally students from all over Ukraine protested peacefully for 3 months in the cold. And then finally, you know, the riot police started shooting and beating them, but they didn't back down. They didn't back down. They fought for their freedom, and they ousted their pro-Russian president, you know. And then after that, what, Putin stepped in, took Crimea, started a war, and we've been in war for 8 years, you know. And, you know, so this has been going on for a long time. I think we talked about earlier how, you know, we woke up finally and said, hey, this bully is out of control. But we've been letting this bully do a lot the last 10 years. You know, he took a piece of Georgia, took Ukraine. You know, he's slowly but surely picking up the pieces of the Soviet Union. And, you know, you got to remember Putin, I think, was traumatized by the breakup of the Soviet Union. He had such a goal and a career. He was in KGB, which is, I mean, a high level of brainwashing by the Soviet system. And when something like that falls apart, that's a very traumatic moment. And I think his trauma is coming out. He wants the Soviet Union back. He wants to restore Russian glory. He wants to do all these things. He just went about it the wrong way. And he's going to be remembered in history as a dictator that ruined Russia.
Well, I am wearing a sweater today that was made in Riga, Latvia. And freedom-loving people. And they used to be under the...
Love Latvia, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful people in Latvia.
Wonderful people. And I'm wearing that in celebration of Ukraine and freedom and the Latvian people as well, who, you know, don't tread on their freedom because they like it too much.
Yeah. Well, luckily, they got into NATO.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know?
I saw a KGB building. Well, it used to be a KGB building, and now it's just a kind of a warehouse kind of thing. But
I think also us Americans need to understand that, you know, if you let a bully win, will he come back and do something again? Most likely, right? I mean, until a bully gets confronted, in this case, geopolitically, Putin's kind of a bully. He's picking out a smaller nation, trying to take over. You know, who knows if Latvia is next? Because Latvia has a lot of Russians. And he's going to make the same excuse that, Latvians are killing Russians and there's Nazis there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable that anybody would believe that kind of nonsense. But, you know, when you have state television pumping only one thing to you for years and years.
That's right.
You know, you don't really have a choice.
People don't know that in many countries, the governments own the transmitters. They may give you a license to broadcast, but they can come in. And I'm talking about some countries that you'd be surprised.
Absolutely.
It's the government that owns the transmitter, and they can shut it off any time. Sorry for your luck.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're in radio. You're about freedom. You know, you want to talk about what you want to talk about. You want to play what you want to play. You know, imagine if you just had a script. And if you got off the script, you get spanked. You know, all right, here's your narrative. Don't cross these lines.
Yeah, we actually just saw that when he, you know, when they implemented the 15 years in prison if you speak against the war and the Russian army.
That's what a bully does.
Yeah.
And this is why we like to have different opinions and discuss, because it'll make us better. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. And...
Absolutely.
I believe that to my core. I can learn something from everybody, and maybe I will change my mind.
Yeah.
And you only do that by discussing things. And it may be uncomfortable for some people to hear things, but that's what freedom is.
Oleg, if you have time, we do have a call from one of our faithful listeners, Carl, who is enjoying the conversation this morning. I believe he has a question. And Carl, if you could, maybe ask the question and then hang up and listen off the air. Thanks for calling, Carl.
Yes. God bless all the Ukraine people over there. And it was on the news that there's 60,000 people in the United States is paying their own way to go over there, their own plane tickets and everything, to fight in that war. Ukraine will not die. It will live forever. God bless all of you.
Thank you, Carl Lane.
Carl, thank you. That was wonderful news. I appreciate your support.
I saw that a couple weeks ago. There were some Vietnam veterans paying for their own way to go over and do what they can, you know.
You know, I think it stirred a fire in the world. And, you know, Russia's... I mean, you have to think Russia's kind of been a bad guy for a long time, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was... Politically, not the people. Obviously, the people are wonderful. I have a lot of Russian friends and, you know, family members. And Russian people are wonderful, but their government, and especially Putin, I mean, he's been kind of a bad guy for a long, long time. And I think the world's saying... Enough's enough. We're going to show you we're going to fight you, and we're going to win.
And hopefully we can, maybe that we get China's attention, too, while we're at it, if we can push Putin back, you know? Because that's a whole...
The thing about China, likes to be neutral because China likes to make money on both sides.
Right? Yeah, yeah, they're playing both sides. That's exactly right.
U.S. did that initially in the wars we had, big wars. You know, we made money on both. It's good business when you can yeah. make money on both sides, right?
It is.
So they're like, let's stay back and make some money, and we'll see how it goes from here. We'll stay quiet.
Oleg, you like this story. I have a broadcaster friend that has 26 signals, 26 radio stations, and
wow.
he's playing the Ukrainian national anthem. I think it's at noon on all of them.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And, you know, and he's going to do that for a week.
That's great. See, everybody's doing their part, and I think that's kind of that's why I'm so proud to be American. You know, I think overall Americans are just wonderful people. They give it all. They're passionate. They're hardworking, and they care. You know, we care, and I've seen how people care about Ukraine, and it brings tears to my eyes.
Sometimes when something's happened over the last day or so that cast Putin in a less than favorable light, he'll just arbitrarily launch some rocket and missile attacks into civilian areas and then tell everyone in Russia that he didn't do that. And then we see it on even the liberal media in America. They can't ignore it. And so, you know, you've got you're dealing with a guy like that, with that mentality. That's no different than, you know, launching it at an apartment complex in Frankfort, Indiana,
or wherever. He's a toddler, let's face it.
Yeah, he's a toddler. He's a crybaby.
And he's throwing tantrums.
Yeah, tantrum, yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. He's throwing a tantrum because he's losing. He doesn't like to lose.
Yeah.
And he knows his fate is on the hands of this war, and didn't work out too well for, you know, Saddam and all these other guys, all these other dictators, and he's deathly afraid that he's going to meet their fate, which, I mean, he probably will.
You know, that's a good point. Yeah, it never ends well for them, does it?
What we're saying is, there will
the
never
world
be
is the ultimate equalizer, right?
Yes.
What you're saying, Oleg, is there will never be peace in Ukraine unless you have your freedom. And even if they come in, it'll be house to house. It'll be snipers. This will not end.
No. I mean, how well did we do in Afghanistan? You know, you can subjugate a government, but can you subjugate people? Right.
Yeah.
That's a totally different story.
Yeah.
You know, government subjugation versus subjugation of a human being is that's different. You know, some will say okay, but others will say no, never. You know, that's just how it is. So, yeah, holding on will be difficult.
Well, we're we keep hearing information every day with another country willing to step up and try to help and everything. So hopefully we can get all this stuff pointed in the right direction and sent to the right places. And we know every day it gets harder and harder to get the MiG jets from Poland.
They need to figure that out.
Right?
There's bureaucracy. I mean, these are old MiGs. You're not giving any Raptors, you know. I mean,
right.
Let's be real. You're giving junk.
Yeah, exactly.
You're literally giving junk away. So, don't act like you need them. No one fights. The only reason Ukraine wants those is because they have people that can fly them and use them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You give American technology, they can't use it. It'll just be a waste, right?
Right.
But these retired pilots know how to use it, and you know what? Having something is better than nothing.